Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
While these guys are making their way to their seats, I'm going to tell you something. As badly as I can mess that up, Christ makes it perfect, and it doesn't matter. If I've offended somebody by messing that up, I'm sorry. He recognizes my weakness, and it's everywhere. It's been a long time, it seems, since I stood up here in front of you. Too long. Too many things have taken place. Too many hurts. Too many scares. Too many deep wounds. Do you think Satan is not behind all of that? I think he is. I think he's on the attack. But he's not the boss. Just remember that. He's not the boss. He's a gnat that flies around your ear and makes you crazy. God's boss. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Cling to him. Let his people hold you up too. We're here for each other. One of the things I've noticed about this group is you hold each other up. If you're in a hard spot and you're not being held up, maybe you're not letting people get close enough. It's important to let people get close, even if it's a little uncomfortable. Let them love you. It's why we're here together as the body of Christ. Using that same train of thought, if your finger's cut, your other hand puts the bandage on it. Think that through. God made you with all of that in mind. You guys better turn me down. I'm getting ready to yell it out. I was told this morning that I needed to bring it, and I thought, you know what? That lady's right. I need to bring it. Are you ready? I better do something right once in a while. I thought we might need to feel a little bit of comfort from God this morning, a little bit of encouragement from the Word of God. Considering what's been going on, I think so. We need to set ourselves up for this coming year, too. I don't pay too much attention to the calendar. I don't worry about what the new year is because my birthday comes right after it, and that means I'm old. But I think it doesn't hurt to set yourself up for success. It doesn't hurt to know where your strength comes from. It doesn't hurt to know all of that. It doesn't hurt to know God's in charge and Satan is not. I'm going to say that over and over. Because that's truth. And we need that. Because Satan tries to trick us into giving up. We live in a world that pretty well he has his say over a lot. But not all of it. You can yell at him and tell him to get out. In the name of Jesus, get out. And he has no choice but to follow because the satanic realm is legalistic, and God has charge over it. And when you say in Jesus' name, get out, they have to do it. They have to do it. Be ready for a battle, but they have to do it. Don't forget that. For years, William Wilberforce pushed Britain's Parliament to abolish slavery, and discouraged, he was about to give up. And his old friend John Wesley heard about that and from his deathbed called for pen and paper. And he wrote him a letter. And here's what he wrote. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might till every American slavery shall vanish away before you. And Wesley died 6 days later after writing that letter. But William Wilberforce, I can't even say his name, fought for 45 more years. And in 1833, 30 days after he died, slavery was abolished in Britain. He fought all the way. Such an encouragement from John Wesley likely gave Wilberforce a sense of purpose, an urgency of calling, an encouragement to face opposition, and the knowledge that he stood where God had called him to stand. Sometimes God puts you in a spot that isn't easy. Some of you think, this guy just stands up here and just blabs on. I'm going to tell you something. God put me up in front of the church, and I was a quiet, shy person. And you're laughing. He's lying to me. No, I'm not. Sometime later, after I almost threw up every Sunday, he gave me peace about it. I was scared to death, man. I had to reason it out. These people are God's people, number one. They forgive, hopefully. And I was a mess. God calls you to do things that aren't easy sometimes. And that's what he did with this guy. It wasn't easy. But that's kind of a human story, isn't it? And you're in church and you expect a biblical story. I have one. God called another young man to preach the word of God years ago. And one of my pastors actually compared me to this guy, and I think he was way off because I'm not even close. His name was Timothy, and the Apostle Paul got a hold of this young guy, and he mentored him, and he laid hands on him, and he ordained him into the ministry. And probably he was ready to throw up a lot, you know? He didn't have this book. I hide behind this thing, man. He didn't have that. God had to give him his word. That's big. That's scary. I had it made. In the New Testament, there's a letter called 2 Timothy. And in this letter, Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him not to give up because his life was hard and he was facing opposition and he didn't like where God called him to be and he just wanted to run away. You ever get that? You ever just want to run away? You ever want to stay in bed? You ever look to your spouse and say, I'm really not in the mood to go to church today? You ought to try being the preacher and not being the mood. It happens. I'm not lying. It happens. You've got no choice. You're kind of expected to be here. And if you don't show up, there's going to be some upset people. What is wrong with him? Isn't he bulletproof? No. And neither are the people that sing and play. And sometimes they're up here and they really don't want. And sometimes it's been like, okay, I'm really not in the mood to do this. And somebody that I'm married to says, you really need to get going. And she prays for me. And God does the work. These things happen. I want you to know they happen. But this letter called 2 Timothy is a letter of encouragement sent from one person who's on the verge of death to a man with a purpose in his life, and yet who was tempted to quit. And Paul had been arrested for the second time, and he knew that Nero had in mind to kill him. And Nero had in mind to kill anybody that said Christ was their Lord and Savior. He made torches out of people. He was awful. He was kind of afraid of Paul, because Paul was a Roman citizen. That made him just a little bit different. And so Paul sat chained to a Roman guard And he thought of his protege named Timothy, whom he had heard was encountering severe opposition. And Paul knew the thoughts in the heart of that man. And so he wrote to him. In chapter 4, verse 9, he said, "Do your best to come to me quickly." But he also wrote many instructions in case Timothy didn't get there in time. Paul saw the purpose in Timothy's life, and he saw a need for encouragement. Now, I want you to look around to the people in this building, right here in this room. Look around. Just look at each other. It's okay. You can look at each other. It's not like you're hugging each other. I mean, just turn around and look. Kind of crazy, ain't it? If you turn around and look at people, those are people that might need encouragement. And it might be you that needs to encourage them. And you might say, "Man, how do I do that?" How about walking up to them and saying, "I love you"? I don't know anybody that doesn't need to know that somebody loves them. How about telling them, "I'm praying for you"? And don't be lying about it. Be praying for them. How about doing something physically that they need to have done? That's an act of love too. You may not be really good at praying. I'm not. If I wasn't married to her, I don't know where I'd be. God just called me to stand up and talk about it. And I had to be equipped from other people to get it done. I really did. Some of you pray for me and thank you. I need it. I need it. But you can do something for somebody and encourage them. You can say something nice to somebody and encourage them. You can call on heaven and the throne of God for somebody, and God can encourage them. And I don't know of anybody that doesn't need that sometimes. Or maybe all the time. If we're really thinking about it. Encouragement. Something that all of us need to have. Paul looked at Timothy and he saw this guy that was ready to walk. "I'm going to run away. I don't like it here." And he said to Timothy, "My dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers." Yeah. "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." He's talking about his soul. "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Don't lose that truth. Who lives in us. And then he said, wah, 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 I'm all alone. Everybody's deserted me. Paul kind of whined sometimes, didn't he? Or maybe he was pointing this out so that Timothy would see that he wasn't the only one that was in kind of bad circumstances. And he told him, beginning in chapter 2, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Remember Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. So here he was, ready to die. And he knew it didn't matter. Because God's purpose lived on in his young protege. Paul could have written self-help books for psychology today when he wrote this to Timothy. He gave him numerous reasons to be encouraged in his faith and purpose despite the opposition that he faced. And the first reason that he gave to Timothy to be encouraged was in verse 5. His faith was the number one reason to look up. Paul said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. There's times in my life that that's all that I had. That's all that I could cling to. I was as weak as I could be. And if I didn't have God, I might have given up. Seriously. As upbeat as I am, yeah. Yeah, I've been low. A lot of the time when we're having a hard time, it's difficult to pick out any silver linings in the clouds around us. All we see are the clouds. And if you know somebody that's down, you need to help them to find silver linings. And if they're really way down, that's prayer, that's love, that's support. Even if you can't do anything to help them, when you say it, I can't do anything to help you, but I'm here. They know that you love them. Give them that. Paul said, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed ourselves with Christ. And if we're going to be like him, he sacrificed himself for others. You might have a minute of discomfort because you're going up and you're going to hug somebody and hugging's not your thing. Or you're going to go up and you're going to talk to somebody about how much God loves them and how much you care about them. And maybe that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, but get outside of yourself, get over yourself, and serve somebody else. Grab a hold of them. They're hurting. Let them know that you love them and that God loves them. That matters. It's up to you to encourage each other with the encouragement that God has given you. That's written somewhere else, I believe, too. It's kind of woven through Scripture. We tend to make Christianity our faith about us, and more of it is about others than about you. That's true. No matter how bad the situation is, faith always gives us hope. This hope comes from a reliance on God, who is greater than any circumstance. He has an all-surpassing power that delivers us even from the realms of the dead. We can't see that in this little brain because we're kind of finite. It's a fact. And so we can have hope and encouragement. But Paul didn't just point out faith. Did you notice he said, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy was entrusted with the preaching and teaching in an era in which there was no Bible. He had a definite spiritual gift given. And you think, wow, that's pretty big. He had a spiritual gift. Do you know that you have spiritual gifts as well? You do? Do you know what they are? Have you ever thought about that? Do you know that when you're given a gift, God expects you to receive that gift and do something with it? There's a purpose for it in you. I've been given this gift, if you want to call it that. I've been called up. Yeah. But I'm not supposed to hold it in. I'm supposed to give it away. Because when I give it away, God's power somehow works. Somehow you receive from Him, from this broken vessel. That's awesome. That's beautiful. That's God. And you might say, well, He's good at speaking. Blah, 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 blah. Did you get anything out of that? That's me without God. Yeah. We often view spiritual gifts as something somebody else has. You have spiritual gifts. God has designed you and built you to serve in His kingdom, to do something in His kingdom. And if you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't know what it is, you got to go find out. You got to study. Get in a group that's studying spiritual gifts. Chances are pretty good you won't need the Holy Spirit to remind you of whatever word in the Scripture says, because you've got that. But I'll bet you there's something that you're designed to do. And you just need to go figure out what it is. You need to search for it with all your heart. Find your purpose in His kingdom and you'll feel fulfillment. Work in it, you'll feel real satisfaction. It's in here. Peace, it's in here. Because of Him. Love is a spiritual gift. I didn't know that for a long time. It is. It is. Faith is one of the gifts. There's a lot of them. You need to search that out. Go find. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's crazy, but I want you to listen to this. If you've been in the church for a long time and you think you know what your spiritual gifts are, great. Keep looking, because He's giving you more. Read the parable of the talents again. Keep working. You're not done. You can never retire from Sunday school. You can never retire from worshiping God. You can never retire from working in the kingdom until you drop over and you're taken home. And then I think we're probably going to have something to do when we get there. I don't know what it is. He's probably not going to ask me to sing. If He does, He's going to have to do something about my voice, right? Yeah. Another reason for encouragement is our transformation from one who is due judgment to one who is saved and called to a holy life. Paul said in verses 8 and 9, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Lots to take in. Salvation from God is a gift, and it is freely given to us, and all we have to do is say, yes. And by the way, symbolically, when you take that cup at communion, remember the bride. Have I told you the story about the bride? When the bridegroom hands her the cup of wine, when she takes it and drinks of it, she is saying yes to His proposal. And He's our bridegroom, and we're His bride. It is symbolic. It is holy. It is awesome. I hope you get it. I hope you feel it. Even the men in here were the bride of Christ. Get over it. The only cost there is to salvation was Jesus. But God sacrificed Christ so that we could be called into a new life and into a purpose. He looked into the future. He saw us condemned, and he planned to save us. And Jesus took our punishment, our judgment for sin on his own self, and we are saved and called to this new life of God's purpose and his design. It's not your life anymore. If you're in Christ, it's his. You're the church. You're his. It's not your life. Quit claiming it. You're bumming him out. It's his. Give it to him. You can trust him. Believe me. He won't mess things up as bad as you will. And I say that looking in the mirror. Most of us don't ever realize what a gift we've been given. We live powerless and empty lives because we try to do it ourselves. We try to earn things that we can never earn. We try to take God's place, and we can't do it. We fail, and then we give up. Are you frustrated in your faith? Yeah, you'll get there if you keep that up. Another reason for our encouragement that we can find here is there is an exchange made by the grace of God in our lives. When you accepted Christ as Savior, you reached out and you traded your placement at the judgment seat, and things in eternity changed. You were no longer going to have to go where you were going to go. Thank God. Because I don't care how good you are, you're not good enough. Nobody can measure up to that line. I know I can't. I don't even think about it, man. I look in the mirror. I'm messed up from day one when I get out of bed. You ask my wife. It's true. There was a spiritual flip when we accepted Christ. Think about how awesome that is. Can you just walk out of here and say, no big deal? That ought to raise you up. You ought to say, woo! Yeah! It's better than a touchdown at a football game that was made by your team, man. It's awesome. Can take that times every second for all time. It's better than that. You ought to be jumping up and down. I know this isn't that kind of church. Hang in there. You can celebrate that. You should feel good about that. You're not even going to feel that all at once. I'm going to tell you something I always told people. If somebody asked me to baptize them, I never turned them down. Do you know why? Because when you're baptizing somebody, the scripture says that is the point at which the Holy Spirit inhabits them. And so you're there holding on to that person when God's Spirit enters them. Now, I can't think of a more amazing moment to be attached to another human being's body than to be holding somebody in baptism, knowing that God's Spirit is entering their soul. I've done it in a creek. They call it a river. It's really a creek. In February. I don't care. It was cold, man. I was more worried about this guy dying of a heart attack. I pulled him up out of the water. You know what he said? Praise God! And he drove off soaking wet and cold. And a Christian. And I got to take part in that holy moment in his life. It's amazing to think about what happens when you accept Christ. I'm just lucky I get to take part in stuff like that. Do you know you can baptize people? You don't have to be anybody special. You don't have to be special ed. It's true. I say that at work too. No, I don't talk about baptism much at work. I will, but I talk about being special ed. No, you can baptize anybody. So if you have a friend and they're afraid of doing things publicly, but they need to be baptized and you talk them into doing it, you can do it. One witness. Just so if somebody argues with you, all they have to do is proclaim Christ as their Savior, accept him. And all you have to do is baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they have to get wet. And God does the rest. And you can take part in that amazing point in time where eternity touches the temporal. It's way bigger than me or you. Pretty awesome. Our final reason that we need to be encouraged by the scripture is something that I just talked about happening. This Holy Spirit thing, let's talk about this Holy Spirit thing. You're thinking, I didn't know God's Spirit could live inside of me. I'm kind of embarrassed God's Spirit lives inside of me sometimes. He catches me at my worst. He condemns sin in me. And he'll do that for you too. God's Spirit lives in us. And that shouldn't be our downfall. That should be something that takes us over the top. If you're not crazy yet, you think about that. You think about God's Spirit living in you, and you'll be just as nuts as I am about God. You'll love God. Think about that. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, his Spirit came home. And that's your deposit for someday when you go home. I've got all kind of theories about that going home business. I'm not going to share all that stuff with you because it's a little bit crazy. And I don't want you to know how bad I am. But I know that God's Spirit living in me is something that keeps me from getting too low. And I can tell he's in there. And I can tell that God loves me. And most of the time I can tell it, not because of all of that stuff that's in here, but because God sends somebody to minister to me. Today I want you to be encouraged as we start this new year, as we get going. Don't let yourself be dragged down. Look around. God has sent somebody into your life for you to hold up, for you to love, for you to encourage. And at the same time, because he's good, he knows. He sent somebody to grab a hold of you when you're weak and hold you up and pray with you. If you can't get up thinking about that, we need to get together and pray together right away and And so if you're there, come grab a hold of me. We'll go pray. Right away. There's not a thing wrong with that. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't think he's too crazy to pray about me. Because I'm not. I love all of you. I want you to feel the love of God. I want you to feel his lift. I want you to feel his spirit. I want you to know he's all around you and all these people. And his power surpasses anything that we've ever known. Scripture says it best. If God is for us, who can be against us? The devil, and he's going down. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm thankful to you for this day, for this blessing that we have, that your spirit is in us, around us, that you've given us one another, that you've given us gifts, that you've given us callings. And I pray, Father, that everyone here today will find you real, will find their callings real, will find their gifts waiting. And I pray that you'll give them the go, give them the push, help them to be comfort for one another, help them to be the lift for one another. And I pray that where those are weak, that you will hold them up, give them your spirit, your strength, and help us when we're at the bottom to just take one step at a time in faith and reach out to you in Jesus' name.